It is so good to be back from holidays. For those of you who don't know, I've been away for a few weeks, and it's so good to be back. I praise God for a team, a staff who just carry things on, and I tell you, I came back refreshed and excited. And when we had staff meeting, when I got back, and I said to them, I said, as I was driving up, it felt like a new day in a new ministry for me. Isn't that exciting? So that means, let's see, I've been here, what, 9 years? Just going on 9 years? Another 9 years. Right? That's what it sounds like, eh? What do you think? I don't know. Maybe it'll be 19. Maybe it's 9 weeks. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Don't panic. Ugh. But it's amazing when you leave, and it's amazing to come back. Because you anticipate the journey when you're going on a holiday, but you anticipate coming back. And so I'm excited to be back. And I've been missing 3 weeks here, so anyway, we won't get into that. I have lots of time. Lots to say. Great to be back. I want to praise God, and I did while I was away. I prayed for all, you know, for all of you, and I prayed for those who were speaking while I was away, and I thank you for those who filled in when I was away, and I heard great comments and great things, and God was good. So, well, likely there have been those moments when you're laying on the couch on a hot summer evening, and then there upon your arm crawls a large, hairy, humongous spider, and you jump flinging your arms, and then you spend the rest of the evening watching your wife search for that spider, for fear that it has crawled into your bed to finish the job that it intended. Or maybe there was a moment when you were requested to hand glide or ride the West Edmonton Mall roller coaster, or maybe even bungee jump in Florida, and you turned pale and white, and everyone said, "What's wrong with you? You faked a heart attack just to get out of it." Well, your first thought may have been like mine when I was requested to ride down a slide on our holidays by my daughter Felicia in South Dakota. Rapid City is named that appropriately. Everything's rapid. But my daughter Felicia spotted this wonderful, long, high slide. Now, for those of you who really know me, you realize how much I adore heights. I mean, standing on a ladder is a feat of effort for me, and if I really concentrate hard and pray and close my eyes, I have even made it to the second rung. Really. I agreed to go on the slide. I mean, everyone was going. Nathan was excited, my son. Felicia was excited. Joan was excited and exuberant. They all said, "You can stay back, Dad. It's okay." And I thought, I can't miss out on this. I got to deal with this. My question was, how many stairs did we have to climb to get to the top of the slide? I really wondered, because it was really high up on this hill. South Dakota, Black Hills, we were down in that area. Well, when Joan, my wife, handed me the ticket as an accountant, she was elated as she explained that the tram ride was included in the price. Through my white face, my panicked words came out, Tram ride? And then began the almost drawing of straws to see who had to ride along with me up this tram ride high into the mountains. See, it changed from a hill to a mountain. See? My son Nathan had the privilege, the wonderful privilege of accompanying me along with my, are we okay? Are we safe now? Where are we? Are we almost there? And my moans and groans, and I was just getting onto the tram. I knew that we were in trouble when, as we got on, the instructor said, "Make sure that that bar holds you in." I made sure that that bar was held down tight. And I held on for dear life calmly in my wonderful, calm, reserved manner, requesting of Nathan, "Hold on! Pull that bar down! Tighter!" Glued to my seat with my eyes closed halfway, I have good news, folks. I made it. I made it. But here's a shot, because they take a picture as you're coming up the tram. I know. Now, you see, you got to understand something. You're supposed to fit three on there, right? The bar is supposed to be between the persons. I was in such a panic that we had to pull that bar down immediately, and poor Nathan just made it for dear life. I mean, he was trying to sit over on the other side. I said, get over here. I just get this thing down. And take it off there. I'd want them to... Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever... How about panic? Have you ever been panicked? Have you ever worried? Have you ever been concerned? You ever wondered? This morning you'll begin to live again. We're doing a series this summer about living again. And while you may have similar circumstances to share like mine, those are isolated occurrences that many people go through life not being all they can be because they are afraid. They are afraid. I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8. And I want you to see something in Romans chapter 8 that is powerful, and it's great words of wisdom. And one of my favorite passages is Romans 8. And I think that others of the staff agree to that, that it's theirs too. So Romans chapter 8, and I'm gonna read for you from verse 39 to the end of the chapter, which is verse 39. Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 35, starts off this way. The Apostle Paul pens these words, the words of the Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. God is great. Amen? We serve a great God, and he cares about us. And I got to tell you this morning that with Christ, we live life, first of all, more than conquerors. More than conquerors. See, you look here, verse 37. No, in all these things, we are not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Isn't that nice to know that with Jesus Christ as part of your life, you are more than a conqueror? Amen? I didn't hear anything. I went deaf going on that tram. I know I did. Do you know what a conqueror is? It is defined as a defeater. It is defined as a vanquisher. To conquer means to overcome, to triumph over, to defeat. With Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Praise God. I think you need to put your hands together and praise him. How can a person handle fear instead of getting handled by fear? The answer is that fear can be overcome by anybody, anyone, anywhere. I enjoy what Paul pens here for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What a powerful question that is. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, at times, I find it so helpful to turn questions like this personal and put me there. Devin, heaven, are you separating yourself from my love? Requests Christ. Heaven, are you so wrapped up in your own worry, in your own problem, in your own suffering, that you are forgetting how much Christ loves you? Heaven, are you doing this? You see, Paul explains that the ways in which our mind can just focus on our fear and take us off of where it should be, and that's on Christ. And because of Christ, we are more than a conqueror. And what he did, what Christ did to bless me, and instead our minds get caught in tribulation, or our thoughts can sit in under stress, it focuses on our peril, our finances, our health, even our battles in our relationships. Where are you choosing to live this morning? How are you choosing to live? Paralyzed, defeated, in peril, or more than a conqueror? Valiant warrior. God loves you. God loves you. No matter what you are walking through today, he knows you, he cares about you, and you may not feel that right now, but maybe, just maybe, it's because you don't want to feel that right now. You're choosing to sit and be defeated. Be afraid. We tend to think that rough, tough, highly successful people somehow are just exempt from experiencing any kind of fear, being afraid, and every generation in human history that I know of has experienced being afraid. And it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, if you think about it. After they disobeyed God, and God called to them, and Adam answered, and he said, I heard your voice. He said to the Lord, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Barna Research Group indicates that 4 out of 5 adults face major difficulties in life which really concern them. Their worries break down this way. 28% say their finances are their greatest worry. 19% say their health. 16% have concerns over their career. 11% parenting struggles. 7% family relationships and accomplishing goals. Your greatest obstacle is nothing for Christ. With him as part of your life, Paul elaborates this very clearly. When you are suffering, or when you feel overwhelmed, look at Romans 8, and look at verse, you're going to find it. Look at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. When you're suffering, when you're feeling overwhelmed, remember where you're going to spend eternity. When you're hurting so bad, when you're walking through tragic circumstances, and you feel so weak, you can't even pray to God anymore. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. When I was on that tram and I was groaning, God heard me. I even opened my eyes at the highest point by accident. But I did it. And I looked down and the camera that I had, which I forgot to shut off, went down with me. Not down on the ground, I mean, they were looking down. Paul doesn't deny that the Christian faces foes and hardships. But if you look at verse 31 and remember these words of Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? With Christ, nothing is against you. Not your circumstances, not your situation, not your relationships. Choose today how you're going to live. Face your fear right now, right here today. You cannot overcome your fears unless you first recognize that they exist. Face your fear right now. It may be your health. It may be your finances. It may be your family. It may be your son. It may be your daughter. It may be your loneliness. It may be your job. It may be your home life. Face your fear today. Get it right now in your mind. Think about it. And then say, God is for me. Say it. God is for me. And since God is for me, Say, and since God is for me, I have no reason to be afraid anymore. Do you believe that? Amen? You have absolutely no reason to be afraid of anything in this life. There was a psychiatrist who was a guest on the original Tonight Show when Steve Allen was the host, and the psychiatrist explained. He said, well, there's really only two really instinctive fears in men that they are afraid of. They are afraid, they are fearful of loud noises, and they are afraid of falling. Then he asked Steve Allen, and what are you afraid of, Mr. Allen? And Steve Allen responded, I have a great fear of making a loud noise while falling. Fear. Being afraid. It attacks us, and it makes us captive. It paralyzes us, and it's time to live your life more than a conqueror. Nazi concentration camp survivor Viktor Frankl observed, he said, fear makes come true that which one is afraid of. Let me repeat that. Fear makes come true that which one is afraid of. He is absolutely correct. If you think you're going to be afraid of something, you will be afraid of it. If you think something else is going to happen, I guarantee you that in your mind it's going to happen. And it's interesting how we do this. We start playing around with this, and we start going, oh, I hope this doesn't happen. I can't handle it if it does. How am I going to get through this? And we wake up our spouse and we're like, I can't sleep. I can't understand it. It's going to, and all of a sudden nothing happens in regard to what we're afraid of. And then we go, whew, that was close. It's true. Fear. It's debilitating, paralyzing. When we're afraid, it undermines our faith because we choose to be afraid. Today, acknowledge your fear to the one who loves you beyond your fear, because fear weakens, faith strengthens. Fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages, fear sickens, but faith heals. You need to choose to live today. And the only way you can choose to live is by faith, not in anyone else, but the one who loves you the most. You see, with Christ, we live life more than conquerors, but we also live life loved always. Don't you love that? Loved always. To know that you're loved always. I mean, there's nothing quite like that. That's why most of us can't accept it. Did you know that God has provided a providential plan for your life? That means that your life has been planned for a long, 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 long time. And God has got an amazing plan to take care of his people. And if you realize how much love God has for you, then you begin to understand that you have no reason to be afraid anymore. You have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to be worried. You have no reason to be concerned. Once you understand the love of God, you realize how God takes care of his people. Throughout the Bible, time and time and time again, we see how God's people were taken care of. Throughout the Bible, we see that they get themselves in all kinds of places and situations, and God would always take care of them. There were those who were not in the most comfortable of places, like even the Apostle Paul, but God always took care of them. When I look back over my life, I know that God always took care of me. He still takes care of me. You look back in your life, you thought, I can't get through this. I'm not going to make it. This is just way too much for me. I'm not going to make it. And you look back, you see, you made it. God has promised you many things as his child. He's promised you that he would never leave you, that he would never forsake you. And all over my Bible, and you look through it, it says, fear not. God says, fear not, for I am with you. That's the only reason. That's the only basis we need to get rid of our fear. Today, not tomorrow. Not a week from now, not a month away. Today, I do not have to be afraid because God is with me. And if God is with me, who can be against me? I don't need to know what God is going to do because I know that he is with me. And when he's ready, he is going to do it. I don't have to be afraid of people because God is greater than people. I don't have to be afraid of the rejection because I've got his love. And I believe that is the greatest knowledge that we can have, is knowing the love of God personally in my life. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God. And my Bible reads, perfect love casts out all fear. If you're a person that's tormented by a lot of fear, I strongly suggest that you take however long it takes you in your life. I don't care if it's 6 months, a year, 2.5 years, take however long it takes you and study the love of God in the Bible until you get it. And I don't mean, Jesus loves me, this I know. But I mean, you know God loves you. And you come to the point where you can say with Romans 8, neither life nor death, nor things impending, nor things threatening, nor no matter what it is that comes against me, nothing, absolutely nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus. No problem, no trial, no tragedy, no disaster, no lie from Satan, no temporary lack in my life, no illness. Nothing will separate me from God's love. Nothing. Do you praise God for that this morning? I praise God for that this morning. Praise God that he loves me no matter what. We were on the holidays and we took them this wonderful Christian weekend. And there's artists there and speakers. It was incredible. And we had the opportunity of hearing Jeremy Camp. How many of you know who Jeremy Camp is? Have you ever heard? Okay, this is great. Well, Jeremy Camp is a contemporary musician and loves to worship God, and he's just a good contemporary singer, strong Christian man. And he shared an incredible story about his wife. He got up when he started his evening or his time, and he started talking about his two children, and he shared about his two children. And I turned to Joan and I said, isn't it interesting? My wife, I turned to her and I said, he never mentioned his wife. You know, I thought that was kind of funny. But he saved that towards the end, and he said, I've never shared this publicly before, but I feel I have to tonight. He said, my wife, who I love, he said, God put us together. He said, and she's a songwriter, and like me, and she loves the Lord like me, and she's my second wife. He said, I'll always love my first wife. He said, and I look forward to being with her someday again in heaven. Because she was diagnosed with cancer and she passed away. But we walked many, many, many trying moments together. He said their pastor and their elders came, laid hands, prayed for God's healing in her. And soon the disease would leave her bedridden and they couldn't understand what God was doing and why God wasn't healing with her. And he would go on the constant circuit somewhat, and he just wasn't with it. I mean, he was just thinking about her, and he'd come back and spend time by her side, bedside, and she just wasn't being healed, this paralyzing infirmity. Jeremy Camp would sit every time he could by her, And they would pray healing and healing and healing upon her time after time after time. One morning, his wife came out of the bedroom, and she said, "It's gone, Jeremy. It's gone." They celebrated together. They rejoiced together. They praised God together. And he said, such peace was on her face again. Well, she never complained. Such love. The love of God was right there with her. 6 hours later, she passed away. And so he spent time, the next moments in his life were anger, resentment, and bitterness. Questioning God. Where was he? Why wasn't he there? Why wasn't he present? What happened? She came out, it's gone. She walked out and said, it's gone. He questioned God. He was bitter. Have you ever been there? You ever been to the place where you've questioned God and wondered, God, what did you do wrong now? God, are you even there? God, are you part of my life? God, do you even exist? Jeremy Camp spoke in his agony to God. And God, in his love, allowed Jeremy Camp to hear his words as only he can speak them. So I answered your prayer, Jeremy. I removed the cancer. But I needed to bring your wife home in order to do it. And out of that, Jeremy Camp understood that even through suffering, even through the deep, painful hurt, God always loves. Always. God loves me. God loves me. No matter what others say about me, God loves me. No matter what circumstances buffet me, God loves me. No matter what happens to me, God loves me. No matter what my financial situation is, God loves me. If I'm married, if I'm single, no matter if I'm young or old, no matter if I'm healthy or ill, God loves me. How many of you really want to start living? I mean, really, really living. I want to challenge you. If you're not accustomed to saying that God loves you, you need to adopt a habit of saying it. And I don't mean murmur it. I mean say it. You need to go look at yourself in the mirror every day, and you need to look at yourself square in the face, and you need to say, God loves me. And I'll tell you, if you start doing that, something will start to happen inside of you. You'll start to feel secure. You'll start to feel taken care of. You'll start to feel a lot of your fear just start to vanish in your life. Because I believe the only thing that can drive those fears that we have in our life is the love of God. Only the love of God, perfect love, casts out all fear. Nothing else can do it for you like he can. You can try. You can attempt to find ways to relieve your fear. But only perfect love can remove your fear. And that love is only found at the cross in Jesus Christ. You cannot walk in love until you experience the love of God in your life, because you cannot give away something you don't have. God loves you, and he wants to love you. He wants you to love yourself and love him back, and then pour out his love in other people. Because you see, it's not your love you're giving other people. It's his love you're giving to them. The love that he puts in you, you give away to other people. I want you to practice this morning with me, and I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to say, God loves me. Let's say it again. God loves. Say it again. Now, I want you to give yourself a big hug, like this. And I want you to say, God loves me. Come on, put those arms around yourself and say, God loves me. All right, I want you to close your eyes. Just put your arms down by your side and close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think about where you've walked. And I want you to think about where you've even walked, maybe this past week, maybe it's throughout this year. I want you to think for a moment of what you've been afraid of all this time. And I want you to think about how insecure you've been. And I want you to think about the cross. And I want you to get an image right now of Jesus Christ on the cross. Not just the road going there, that was painful enough. But being nailed up there for your fear so that he could show you how much He loves you. And because of his love for you, you are more than a conqueror. And I want you to say now, repeat after me, God loves me. And because God loves me, I can live my life no longer afraid. Father, we praise you this morning. We praise you. We can't even comprehend how much love was contained in Calvary. Not just on the cross, but the road to the cross. We can't even fathom the suffering. Lord, we're afraid even when we get on a tram. We're afraid even when the spider crawls in our arm. Lord, we can't fathom what you walked through so that we could be more than conquerors over our fear. And Lord, I pray today, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'd remove our fear, Lord, so that we'd no longer be afraid of what's coming in our life or what's going on in our life. That we would commit ourselves afresh to you as your people. Lord, we cry out to you and we humbly request, fill us with your Spirit, the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that each and every day we look square in that mirror and say, God loves me. God loves me. God, thank you for loving me. We praise you now and always. You be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.